Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Cindy Gallup, the founder of Make Love Not Porn. This is Technotopia. This episode of Technotopia is sponsored by CheapTranscription.io. CheapTranscription offers 10 cent per minute transcription using our happy robots or 85 cents per minute using our human assistants. CheapTranscription.io is cheaper and faster than everyone else. CheapTranscription.io. This episode of Technotopia is brought to you by Typewriter.plus. Typewriter.plus is a full-service editorial agency that brings amazing editors from places like the New York Times and TechCrunch to work on your writing. Need a blog post, a white paper, a presentation? The Typewriter team can write or edit anything on nearly any topic. Visit them at typewriter.plus for a free quote. That's typewriter.plus, typewriter.plus. Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Cindy Gallup, the founder of Make Love Not Porn, one of my favorite people, especially to talk about the future of sexual relations. We talked earlier about this a couple years ago, it feels like, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we had a great interview then. Yeah.
So thus far, so the site has been up for a number of years, but you guys have just done quite a few improvements, right?
Exactly. We've effectively relaunched the site, redesigned, improved, upgraded, and with a number of features that we'd always wanted to build but had never been able to previously. And so far, it's getting a great reception from both our members and our Make Love Not Porn stars. So we're thrilled about that.
And why don't you describe the product again for people who haven't seen it?
Sure. So Make Love Not Porn is the world's first and only entirely user-generated, human-curated social sex video sharing platform. So it's kind of what Facebook would be if Facebook allowed you to socially, sexually self-express, which obviously doesn't. We are socializing and normalizing sex in the real world. And that's why our tagline is pro-sex, pro-porn, pro-knowing the difference. If porn is the Hollywood movie, Make Love Not Porn is the real world documentary. And all of this just has one goal in mind. We want to make it easier for everybody in the world to be able to talk openly and honestly about sex, to promote consent, communication, good sexual values, and good sexual behavior. And so that's why we call ourselves the social sex revolution. The revolutionary part isn't the sex, it's the social.
See, that's, I mean, I think as even in the few years that since we talked, it feels like this whole thing, basically online expression of self, online sex, I guess you could say, has expanded wildly. And you guys were pioneers in this space. How do you? Well, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, was sort of like the mental aspects of this. How do you manage that? How do you manage sex in a world where it's always available? A, where porn is always available, and B, where it is so digitized and where we're connecting with each other online versus connecting each other in person.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing, John, because porn is freely available online, and again, that's exactly why I started to Make Love Not Porn, born out of my realization 12, 13 years ago now, through dating younger men, that porn was becoming sex education by default when we don't talk about sex in the real world. However, what is not accessible online is what Make Love Not Porn is spearheading and really trying to drive everywhere, which is open, healthy attitudes and dialogues around sex in the real world. So, you know, every other social platform out there, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, operate this appalling knee-jerk reaction to anything they deem to be adult content. And that includes any form of completely natural, healthy, social, sexual self-expression. You know, any discussion of sex, I mean, literally just the verbiage. Mm-hmm. I and my fellow female sex tech founders have all experienced our social accounts being shut down for entirely safe for work, you know, text and copy about sex.
Well, I mean, just posting this podcast is going to ring some bells. And we're not we're not talking about anything more than we should be talking about, actually.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, the ridiculousness of this is that, you know, even something as natural as breastfeeding. You know, if you post a photo of you breastfeeding your baby on Facebook, your account gets shut down. Mm-hmm. We are going backwards as a society when, you know, sites operate that policy at the scale that Facebook does. And so we have this really interesting dichotomy where people will toss off cavalier, oh yeah, no, we're already open about sex these days. No, we aren't. And in fact, the reason Make Love Not Porn's mission is this very simple, single-minded thing to make it easier to talk about sex is because we don't do that genuinely, sex is an area of rampant insecurity for every single one of us. We all get vulnerable when we get naked. Sexual ego is very fragile. People therefore find it bizarrely difficult to talk about sex with the people they're actually having it with while they're actually having it. And that's what Make Love Not Porn exists to solve. And the interesting thing is, you know, we are, as I said, we're socializing and normalizing all of this. Everything about our site is specifically designed to be social, including, by the way, that, deliberately our homepage is entirely safe for work. You know, the thumbnails we choose for the videos and narratives are all safe for work. It's only when you click through to each video that, you know, and obviously when you stream each video that you're into not safe work territory. And so, you know, couples tell us that we have absolutely helped them to have really frank conversations about their sex lives they wouldn't have otherwise, because the way they put it is one couple wrote to us and said, you know, when we watch your social sex videos together, it's we can talk about sex because it's like talking about something we've watched on Netflix. You know, it makes it as natural and normal as discussing something we've just watched on TV. And I was thrilled to hear that, because that's precisely what we want to ensure, that everybody feels able to talk openly and honestly and healthfully about all of these things that otherwise live in the shadows.
Now, is that because it's humans, non-pneumatic model style humans interacting? Is that what you think is happening?
It's a combination of a number of things. So you're absolutely right. Social sex on Make Love Not Porn is tremendously reassuring because we celebrate real world everything. Real world bodies, real world hair, real world penis size, real world breast size. And the reason that's important, John, is because, you know, you can talk body positivity all you like. You can preach self-love. Nothing makes you feel great about your own body like watching people who are nobody's idea of aspirational body types getting turned on by each other, mm-hmm. desiring each other, having a bloody amazing time in bed. Our mantra is everybody is beautiful when they're having real world sex, and they really are. But then it's other things as well, like, so, you know, the very nature of our videos is, you know, we celebrate the beauty, the wonderfulness. We also celebrate the accidents, the awkwardness, the messiness. And so we have videos where, you know, you will see the real world demonstration of, you know, for example, you know, a couple will decide they're going to have some fun, they're going to role play. And they'll role play a scenario, and you see all this play out. And then halfway through, one of them goes, you know what, this isn't really working for me. The other one goes, yeah, let's drop it right here and let's just have sex. You know? And so you see that it's okay to experiment and not like it. You know, people absolutely try things. They film themselves trying things. They go, meh, you know, not for me, you know, and that's totally fine. And so that this is absolutely about the comical, wonderful, awkward, ridiculous, fabulous human sex we all have in the real world. And, you know, not only does it reassure, you also actually learn a lot from it. You get inspired to try other things. And again, because of the unique nature of who we are, you have opportunities to learn things you don't otherwise. So, for example, we have a ton of solo Make Love Not Porn stars. We have men and women and trans people who have filmed themselves masturbating, and quite often for the first time ever. You know, a vast majority of our Make Love Not Porn stars had never filmed themselves doing anything sexual before in their lives. They're doing it for us because they believe in our social mission. So so you have them, you know, sharing this very intimate act. And our straight male members write to us and say they enormously appreciate the opportunity to watch other men masturbating because it teaches them new techniques and ideas. You know, if you're a straight man, you are very unlikely to have watched another man masturbating. And, you know, one man said to us, I suddenly realized I could be having so much more fun masturbating because there are all these things other men are doing. You know, another man wrote to us and he said, I'm straight. I really appreciate watching, you know, he cited a number of male Make Love Not Porn Stars videos. He said, Stones has this great technique. I tried it. You know, it's fantastic. And the same thing, obviously, with women as well. You can see a ton of women, you know, solo videos where you can get ideas on how to make your own masturbation time more fun. By the way, all the more important in lockdown. For those of us who sadly are in lockdown without partners, like myself, who have no idea when we're ever going to have sex again, you know, the ability to kind of, you know, really, you know, mix things up in your own masturbation is a really great opportunity. And you know, the key thing about all of this is, you know, I concepted Make Love Not Porn to be to absolutely deliver on this, because the number one use case for YouTube is how-to videos. Mm-hmm. It far outstrips use case number two, which is entertainment. First and foremost, people go to YouTube for how-to videos on how to do anything and everything. And I conceive Make Love Not Porn to be the go-to global hub for how-to videos on anything and everything to do with real-world sex. And in fact, we had a wonderful comment. So one of our new features is the ability to appreciate videos. And we do that with our version of the Facebook like, which is the Make Love Not Porn Yes. Because we all welcome great real-world sex with yes, yes, yes. And so now you can click the yes button. And you can also finally comment on our videos, which is something our members have been asking for years, because historically they've had to email us their appreciation of particular Make Love Not Porn Stars, and we pass that on. Mm-hmm. And we are getting wonderful comments because, you know, as you recall, John, I designed Make Love Not Porn around what every other tech platform should have been designed around, which is human curation. So our curators, you know, watch every single video from beginning to end, and we also curate everything else. We curate Make Love Not Porn social, which is the ability to post anything you want, photographs, illustrations, text, on your own profile, and you have a dedicated URL, you can share that with other people. But also, we curate all comments. So in the comment box, I have done something which I had been lobbying LinkedIn to do for years. If you're a woman on LinkedIn, every woman knows this. You are subject to the most extraordinary amount of harassment and abuse from men that should not be happening on a social platform that whose positioning is professional. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried in various forms. You know, I sat on a LinkedIn product advisory council and I asked them if I could speak to someone about this. I've talked to people over the years. I've recommended a little nudge on LinkedIn. The idea that in every comment box, you would put a little grayed out line of type that just says, please keep it professional. A little nudge that reminds you not to say anything you would not say out loud to somebody else in the office. Now, never been able to get LinkedIn to adopt that, but I absolutely did that on my own platform. And so each comment box says, please keep it positive. But the wonderful thing is that we have such an amazing community. You know, we've been curating comments. We have not needed to nix any of them for negativity. And so, sorry, it's a very long-winded way mm-hmm. of saying that we got this wonderful comment just a couple of days ago where obviously a woman posted on one of our lesbian videos and said, you know, thank you so much for this video. You know, I have, you know, just come out as lesbian after not even admitting that to myself for 25 years. I have never had sex before. And this video has shown me how to make love to a woman, and I'm so grateful, which is an incredibly moving comment. But also, you know, we are absolutely education through demonstration. You know, we are how to have sex. How to have great sex, great consensual communicative sex in the real world.
Fascinating. So I wanted to talk about two other things. What do you think about it's almost as if everybody's going to be naked on the internet for 15 minutes. Do you think the next generation is essentially going to use all the tools that were originally seen as lascivious, I guess you could say, like the OnlyFans sites, your site, and then general porn sites to make money, to and do you think they're going to be more comfortable showing themselves online? And have you seen that happening?
Right. I'm going to tease apart the various opportunities you referenced there, John. And by the way, I'm very glad you asked that question, because it's a very important one right now. So first of all, from our perspective, I have to say the pandemic is make love, not porn's time. We are seeing an increase in traffic, revenue, and submissions, because everybody now is staying home globally, and we're a global platform. The world is more in need of love, intimacy, and human connection than ever before. People obviously have a ton of time on their hands to become make love, not porn stars. And very importantly, the revenue sharing business model that I concepted 11 years ago to democratize access to income could not be more welcome now in a world where so many have been negatively financially impacted. And I'm thrilled by this because, you know, when we launched over 7 years ago, I wrote a blog post introducing our business model, and I headlined it, "How Make Love Not Porn Can Help the Global Economy." And I began it by saying, you know how, you know, those, you keep seeing those little scam ads that pop up on the internet all the time going, make $2,000 a week working from home. Well, now you can. And, you know, we absolutely want Make Love Not Porn to hit the kind of critical mass where one day your Make Love Not Porn video could get 1 million rentals at $5 per rental, and we give you half the income. Now, we're a very long way away from that until, you know, we break through investors' reluctance. But we are ecstatic about the fact that we are hearing from Make Love Not Porn stars who are telling us that they are able to actually survive the pandemic on the income stream they make from Make Love Not Porn. Mm-hmm. And again, we're still not operating at the scale we want to, but, you know, two Make Love Not Porn stars wrote to us and said, you know, I mean, their email was headed, you know, with heartfelt gratitude. They said, thank you for allowing us to participate in this. We've both lost our jobs. And this month's payout, we make payouts on a monthly basis, is the difference between panicking and having a cushion to work out what we're going to do next. Another Make Love Not Porn star wrote to us. She's unemployed. She decided to camp out for quarantine. She's out in a desert somewhere, unidentified, and said, you know, my needs obviously are not great, but the income I'm making here means that I feel really calm about all of this because I know I can survive just on this income alone. Mm-hmm. So we are thrilled to be delivering that financial, you know, safety and security. Now, all those people who are financially struggling and who are flooding onto OnlyFans should be coming to us instead. And I'm not saying that out of a sense of competitiveness. I'm saying that out of a sense of safety and security. And this was really highlighted. I gave the closing keynote 2 weekends ago at the Women of Sex Tech virtual conference. And the woman who spoke before me was Jessie Sage, who is wonderful. She's an online sex worker. And she talked about this flood of civilians onto OnlyFans. And she said that the mistake they are making is that they think this is a quick, easy, low-risk way to make money. Mm-hmm. And she talked very compellingly about the fact that OnlyFans and associated platforms, they're not quick, they're not easy, and they sure as hell are not low-risk. Mm-hmm. And she was talking from the perspective of a professional sex worker who, you know, I mean, this flood on OnlyFans is not helping the professionals who have worked very hard, know how hard it is. I mean, you have to generate content 24/7, you know, all the time, mm-hmm. to build up a fan base. And so it's not helping them. But the key point there is low risk, because it's not, it's high risk. Whereas at Make Love Not Porn, we are no risk. And the reason for that, and I want to contextualize this in the broader tech landscape, John, is the young white male founders of the giant tech platforms that dominate our lives today, mm-hmm. are not the primary targets, online and offline, of harassment, abuse, sexual assault, violence, rape, revenge porn. Therefore, they do not, and they did not, proactively design for it. And by the way, we've absolutely seen that play out in Zoom abuse and what's been happening there. Now, those of us who are most at risk every single day, women, people of color, LGBTQ, the disabled, we design safe spaces and safe experiences. I and my tiny team spent literally years concepting and designing Make Love Not Porn before we ever built it, because we knew that if we were going to invite people to do something they've never done before, socially share their real world sex, we had to think through every possible ramification of that to create a completely safe and trustworthy space. As a result, not only do we operate unlike anybody else in the adult sphere, we operate unlike anybody else on the internet, period. And so if you are somebody who is thinking, you know, I've lost my job, I need money, I'm open to doing sexy things on the internet to do that, you want to come to Make Love Not Porn. Because, first of all, it is not physically possible to complete our submissions process unless your video is fully consensual, legal, everyone's over 18. We require two forms of visual ID for every participant, including if you've chosen to have somebody else behind the camera. Even if you never see them, we have to know exactly who they are, two forms of visual ID for them as well. It is not possible, literally, to even submit, let alone ever have published, anything not fully consensual, legal. Then, when you submit your video, we do something nobody else does, but everybody else should, human curation. As I mentioned, our curators watch every single video from beginning to end. We do that, by the way, just to make sure it's real. But that enables us to see everything that's going on, and we take responsibility for and vouch for every single piece of content on our site. Then, when you have submitted your video, we again do something nobody else does. We begin building a personal relationship with every single Make Love Not Porn star. Our curators engage with you personally. We'll do that, by the way, through your own chosen communications channel, whether it's Skype, email, text, you know, WhatsApp, however you prefer to communicate. We answer questions, handhold, but, you know, we have a relationship with every single one of our contributors. Then, you know, if you're one of these people, as I mentioned earlier, who is, you know, struggling financially, wants to make money out of doing something sexy online, but you are worried about future employers, about, or you're at college or whatever, it's absolutely fine on Make Love Not Porn to be anonymous. You can wear masks, faces in shadow, out of frame. We have a blog post. We have a whole how-to section for Make Love Not Porn stars. We have a blog post titled "How to Shoot a Banging Real World Sex Video Without Ever Showing Your Face." So we help with that. And by the way, about half our Make Love Not Porn stars choose to do that. The other half are happy showing their faces. Your video is only viewable on our platform by our members, and only by those members who have actually paid to subscribe or rent it to view. And the reason we operate a rent and stream model, not a download and own, is because our commitment, our Make Love Not Porn stars, is the moment anything changes, your relationship, your life, your circumstances, even just your mind, you know, you tell us, we take your videos down, they're gone forever, they're nowhere else on the internet. You can literally, you know, we could publish your video one day, you might change your mind overnight, we will take your video down the next morning. Nobody else does that. And we're also, where we can, and obviously the pandemic has put an end to this at the moment, but we build our community offline as well as online. You know, in the past, we have held a number of drinks gatherings where we invite our Make Love Not Porn stars to come and meet us and each other. And those are wonderful community building exercises. And so we are the, you know, quick, easy, safe, low risk, no risk place where, you know, if you want to dip your toe in the water and you want to make money out of sharing your real world sex online, we are the place you should come and do it. OnlyFans does not guarantee that safety, security, and that no risk. And, you know, it's possible, again, because, you know, male founders do not design for this, it is possible to, you know, identify people, stalk them offline as well as online, you know, identify the location, etc. And obviously, Pornhub categorically doesn't do any of this.
Okay, how do we get more women founders interested in A, doing startups, B, doing sex tech?
So I've been... for years, every tech audience I talk to in my public speaking or wherever, I always say to the audience, I'm going to ask you to do something nobody's ever asked you to do before. Start a sex tech venture. And I say it like that because no one ever encourages entrepreneurialism in this area. And I have to tell you, John, when I do that, the response is amazing. I remember speaking at the Dublin Tech Summit a few years ago, where I made this call, and a ton of women, as well as men, by the way, a ton of women, both on social and in emails to me afterwards, went, "Oh my God, you're absolutely right. I'm thinking about this already. I'm totally going to do it." And then this is why Women of Sex Tech, which I'm a founding member of, exists. So if you go to womenofsextech.com, first of all, you will see this phenomenal community. And by the way, we started in New York. New York is home to the largest community of female sex tech founders in the world. But we've now spread, that there are women of sex tech groups, not only all across the US, but also in London, in Berlin, et cetera, et cetera. So you will find a community of wonderful female sex tech founders to inspire you. But also, we regularly hold events like the virtual conference 2020 a couple of weekends ago, where Bryony Cole, who is wonderful, talked about how to start a sex tech venture, gave tremendously good practical advice, including, by the way, a really terrific point where she said, you have to establish whether you are comfortable talking about sex publicly regularly, because if anything about that disturbs you, then you're not ready to start a venture, built around it. And precisely because of the battles every single one of us fights, we are a wonderfully collaborative community. And so we have a private Facebook group where anyone can post problems they're having, that the classic Instagram just shut our account down. Please, can everybody write to Instagram to lobby for them to open it up again? First of all, that is absolutely the resource for female founders to come to. But secondly, I would also really urge people to think about becoming an entrepreneur in this space in a very specific way, because the most important piece of advice that I have to give all the time to fellow sex tech founders is take yourself out of the shadows. And what I mean by that is, all too often, because we are operating in what I call literally Silicon Valley's final frontier, people unconsciously internalize, without even realizing they're doing it, society's disapproval of what they're doing in a way that then negatively impacts their ability to do the kind of business they want. And so I'll give you an example. Many years ago, a young woman came to me with a sex tech startup, plenty of these now, but back in the day, she wanted to redesign sex toys, make them cool, sell them online. And so she was telling me about her startup, and she went, "And the thing is, Cindy, people are really embarrassed to be seen buying sex toys. So we're going to package them like this." And I said to her, "Okay, hold it right there. You need to go right back to the beginning and reconcept your startup from the ground up, because you need not to say to me, 'People are embarrassed to be seen buying sex toys.' You need to say to me, 'We're going to make people not embarrassed to be seen buying sex toys.' When you concept and design a venture around existing societal bias and prejudice, all you do is reinforce it. I refuse to bow to that. I'm out to change it." And so I encourage people to bear in mind this wonderful thing that Larry Flynt said to me, again, many years ago, when I was booked to interview Larry Flynt as the opening session at an entertainment conference in LA. And so I was in the green room with him beforehand, just running through the questions I was going to ask him. And one of my questions was, "Larry, you pioneered in an industry where nobody is ever encouraged to pioneer." And I was going to go on and say to him, "What would you say to other entrepreneurs who also want to, start a venture in this area?" But he interrupted me, and he said, "I never thought about myself as a pioneer because I just didn't think I was doing anything wrong." And I bloody love that response. That's the way to approach a sex tech venture. "I just never thought I was doing anything wrong." Love it.
Wonderful. Okay. I wish we had hours of this, but I think we'll bring you on a couple more times in the next quarantine session.
I would adore that, because honestly, John, everything about the pandemic is just proving our concept
is
and our
everything's
model.
broken.
Unbelievably, yeah. And equally, John, I'll tell you what's also broken: our presumption for decades that the future was digital. For years, we've been going, the future is technology, you know, VR, AR. Boy, oh boy, has the pandemic ever proven that what we are all desperate for is touch, intimacy, and connection, IRL. People are desperate for touch. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've seen, as I have, on social media, in my networks, people going, oh my God, I miss hugs.
Yep.
That really basic form of physical touch we just took for granted, didn't even think about, that we can no longer give each other. On the other side of this, people are desperate to come together, touch each other. People are desperate to have sex, by the way, myself included, and God knows when, you know, that's going to happen in current environment. But, you know, my personal philosophy is I believe in using technology to make good things happen in the real world. Make Love Not Porn is sex tech designed to bring people closer together in the real world. And the pandemic is absolutely proving that that, above everything else, is paramount to who we are as human beings.
Wonderful. Cindy, thank you for joining me. This has been a great, gosh, it's been half hour already, but it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. And can I just say, thank you for having me on, because honestly, ever since our first podcast together, I mean, you got this, you totally got it. Like not many other people in the tech world do. And so I really, really appreciate that.
All right. Well, this has been Technotopia. I'm John Biggs. Thanks for listening.
Technotopia is brought to you by Happy Fun Corp. Happy Fun Corp is a design-driven technology company in Brooklyn, New York that specializes in building mobile and web applications for startups and Fortune 500 companies. Whether it's a new mobile or web application that will help people experience the internet in a fun new way, or software that will interface with a new piece of top-secret hardware, Happy Fun Corp is always up to the challenge. Big or small, Happy Fun Corp loves building software and loves working with great people. Come build with them. HappyFunCorp.com.